There we go. Okay, well, I've changed the name just a little bit, and I did this on purpose. One of the things Lee and I talked about when we were getting this, talking about doing this, keep in mind one thing, I'm not a soil scientist. I'm a wetlands ecologist. I work with plants. So I can hit you with a tree, but I can't bury you with dirt. But anyway, what I want to do today is talk to you about some of the problems we've run into in using not only soils but vegetation as indicators of wetlands. So we're going to be talking about created wetland systems. Now, working in this particular case in clustering forested systems, these are forested wetland systems that are literally the ones that are being the most heavily impacted in the state of Virginia. Over 80% of our wetland losses now are in the clustering systems. So we've had to take particular attention to the restoration and creation process that they use for mitigation. One of the things to remember throughout this process, and here's where the academic come in, is we're not as much interested in whether you have hydric indicators or if you have hydric vegetation. We're interested in, are we actually reaching the ecological equality that is required by law? Remember, the Clean Water Act literally states that replacement wetlands, replacement or created wetlands, are supposed to replace the ecological functions of that wetland system. So we're looking at, where are these things going? Are they functioning like the system that was destroyed? Okay? Now, I'm not going to bother you with all the functions. Most of you here should already know them. I'm going to concentrate on two. What happened? Well, I'm going to concentrate on accumulation of organic matter and maintenance of characteristic plant communities. Okay. Idea here is to give you show you what is going on in these systems from a chemical and biological point of view. Now, the questions we asked when we set this up were quite simple. We looked at created and referenced wetlands in the coastal plain in Piedmont of Virginia. And we looked, if you're not familiar with floristic quality index, it's just a measure of the purity of a system. Is it like a natural system, or are there invasive species present, basically? Okay. We'll come back to that a little bit. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Second part, we looked at 10 and 20-year-old systems. We have some fairly old created wetlands in Virginia. So we were looking at these and looked at post-creation, how they changed over time. Now, we were also able to go back, there was a study done in 2004, and we were able to reproduce that study in 2012. So we not only had the 10 and the 20-year-olds, we have them when they were 3 and 11-year-olds as well, so we could compare them with insights. Also, we looked at soil and vegetation will have matured over the 8 years. Basically, I'm going to look at it over time. Actually, we see a maturation of the soil characteristics and the vegetation characteristics. So, there it is. So we're going to look at accumulation of organic matter, maintenance. Those are the two I'm going to pin on today. We have others that we work with. Here's it just quickly. These are the sites we're located. You can just barely see the little dots in northern Virginia scattered all the way down into southeastern Virginia. We had a total of 7 sites within each category of the age sites. Age class, the first age class 1 with 3 sites. In this particular study, they were 10, approximately 11 years old. Second age class was 20 years old. Now, you're going to see 2 different sets of slides, and I'll explain them when we come to them. As I said, we're going to look at 11-year-old and 20-year-old sites. But, like I said, we have 3-year-old data for this site, and we have 12-year-old data for this site as well. So we have the same data we can use over and over again. So we now have a chronology that we can use. There we go. There are our main sites. We use basic systems, soil core in the center. I'm not going to go through all this. Vegetation measurements. I am going to emphasize woody vegetation today. I'm not going to talk about herbaceous vegetation. I'm also not going to talk about fine organic material from vegetation. I'm just going to talk about course. Okay? Now, jumping right to the data. Well, you guys will recognize this. To explain what's going on, these are measured in 2012. These are the set of 11-year-old sites and the set of the 20-year-old sites. Unfortunately, I did not have the bulk density for them back in 2004. all I had was what we have here. And what you can see is there, maybe a better way, what you can see is that there appears to be a trend where bulk density is definitely heading towards that of a natural wetland system. Now, that's not too surprising when you consider you've got woody vegetation sitting in there, popping its roots and popping that soil up. Now, keep in mind, too, back in 2012, they were actually raking and breaking up the soil in these created wetlands. We got past that problem of them actually compacting and having these perched wetlands sitting on top. So we are seeing that trend where we are seeing the ecological functions starting to return to that system. Now, this is a little bit different. This is the same sites. Now, here's at 2012. Here it is at 2004. And here's your percent carbon. All right, so what you'll see here, this is a three-year-old set of sites. You see a change, an increase in percent carbon. Now, yeah, pretty much what you'd expect. Same thing in 2004. And the 12-year-old sites, notice the equivalence in these were statistically similar. But you also have increase in the 2012. So again, it does appear that what we're seeing, here's your natural wetland systems, that these sites are tending or trending toward replacing the ecological functions within those systems. Percent nitrogen, and I can keep going on and on. We have about 15 of these. I'm not going to bother you with 15 of them. But they all show that same trend where we seem to be seeing an increase towards the natural wetland system. So if we were to look at the soils alone on this particular group of sites, we would be pretty well to conclude that they seem to be doing pretty well ecologically. Okay, yes, your percent nitrogen, again, you can see the increase. Everything seems to be cranking along. In fact, carbon nitrogen, carbon phosphate, nearly everything we put up was statistically similar and showed that trend toward maturation in the site. So your soil edaphic properties appear to be going toward equilibrium to ecological functions. However, let me hit you with a tree. Figuratively, not literally. I'm going to throw in trees into the system. Remember that one I showed you of carbon, showed you the amount of carbon in the system? What happens when I start throwing a tree into your carbon equation? Here's where things started going a little bit skewy. Notice that here our 20-year-old and our 11-year-old were not statistically different, but our natural was quite different. And we said, wait a minute now. Okay, what we got here? We've got trees and we got dirt, soil, if you will. Okay, why don't we take them apart and let's take a better look at them, a little closer look at them. And this is what whacked us on the head. Look at the natural site and look at the woody biomass. Now remember, if you look at the literature, it's going to tell you that within 40 years, these created wetlands are going to resemble this guy right here. Well, this data clearly shows you that's not going to happen. If you're familiar with tree growth, it's an asymptotic process. These guys are not going to be cranking away at the same rate every year and increasing the growth. They're actually going to slow down. Chances of them reaching natural carbon accumulation over 40 years is extremely poor. Now, there is a reason for this, and we can explain it now. We have an idea of what's going on here. I'll come back to that in a second. All right, now we took a look at another thing. Just look here. Again, basal area of the trees, going in, looking at basal area, the base, and this is DBH taken on the trees, and looking at the differences. Again, your natural systems are way up here. Your 20-year-old is way down here. So again, we're not seeing that vegetation maturation that we saw in the soils. Okay? Now, we're going to switch sites. We're going to change to another study that we're doing. Here, we set up three different cells, flooded cells, saturated ambient. We have total control of the hydrology on these systems. We have the pump off the USS Kennedy, their bilge pump. That sucker will blow you away. We have irrigation pipes running down through. You have the ambient cell, which we didn't use, we didn't irrigate. The flooded cell we kept flooded, and the saturated cell. Now I'm going to concentrate on the saturated cell because it's similar to most of the clustering systems that we're trying to create. All right, so these saturated cells were kept flooded and saturated within a root zone. We actually have piezometers out there where you could measure it and see it, et cetera, et cetera. Well, when we went in there, the one thing we did is we broke our planted trees into two different types. We planted secondary species and primary species. Now, if you don't know what the difference is in two, primary species are very fast growing, to make a long story short. Secondary, think oaks, very slow growing species. Well, first thing we noticed is in saturated systems, we had a tremendous growth. We had 9 megagrams. Now, remember this little thing back here where we were talking about what's going on here versus here? Anybody remember what was happening 20 years ago with regulatory agencies? They were forcing the regulators were forcing the consultants to plant oak trees. They were planting secondary species. They weren't planting the primary species. So they were losing that biomass system. Anyway, that explains that in part. We go back here. We have the primary and secondary. We have a tremendous amount of growth. This was literally 95% of all the growth in that system. Now, switching back, let's talk a little bit about the soils in these sites. We had the piezometer readings. We knew the perk rates. We knew how much water the pump was coming out. We go out there and we see standing water on these sites. Well, for the last 7 years, Lee and John Galbraith have been coming out to that site with their class from the cow and turkey school. And they bring their students in, and what they would do is they look at each one of these sites, do a soil, take a sample, and they do about 5 or 6 samples throughout the site. Interesting, what they found was first couple of years, 2, 4, and 5, it had wetland indicators. Now again, I've got all the data that shows that hydrology is there. We've got the indicator. But year 6, the amniotic cell did not have wetland indicators. Whoa. And this year, when Lee was out there last week, I believe, it was mixed. He had some that were and some that weren't. What's going on? Well, here's a system where I've got the hydrology. I've got good vegetation. I was cranking away. By the way, that if you looked at that created 20-year site, it had about, after 20 years, it had about 10 megagrams. Well, here after 6 years, I've got 10 megagrams in that same saturated condition. So the ones we have are cranking away. But what we're seeing is a lot of difference in that soil. What's going on here? Well, don't know for sure. I mean, it's something that we've never really run into before. It could be something as simple as evapotranspiration. Think of the trees when we plant them and they're not that big. Now these trees that are planted on a 7-foot center are 10 meters tall. So perhaps evapotranspiration is out pumping the pump. Okay, so what does it mean? Well, quite simply, from the first study we saw that the soils seemed to give us an indication that things were working. Things were going toward that wetland condition. But when we looked at the vegetation said, you're not even close. There's a whole lot of invasive species in there. Species diversity was extremely low. Biomass was extremely low. It just wasn't cutting the mustard. Second study, we were able to see that here, the soils didn't seem to hold up, but the vegetation and the hydrology did. Again, kind of conflicting views, and what do you do with something like that? Well, simply, keep in mind, we've got to be very careful when we try to use either soil or vegetation as an indicator of a wetland system. Instead, what we've got to do is we've got to use them together. We can't just use one. When we do, we're going to get into trouble. Can I explain why our soils don't have hydric indicators at year 6 and 7? No. But I can give you the numbers that show the hydrology is there. Okay? It's a very sandy soil. Maybe that's part of the explanation. Maybe it's draining quick. So, long haul, we've got to be careful as academicians and even as field people when using this data to make sure we've looked at the big picture. Look at everything, not just the soils. Look at the vegetation. Look at the hydrology. I, as a botanist, I still look at the dirt. If I can't tell what's going on, I call Lee. So, I think that is it. Acknowledgements. And I think I have time for questions.
Thank you very much.
Any questions?
I have a question about when you're talking about primary and secondary species, are those also successional?
Yes.
Stages? Okay.
Yes. Primary is the primary successional stage, and they're species that are rapidly, they grow very quickly, they have rapid accumulation rates of carbon. I have all kinds of data on it, you don't need to see it. But rapid accumulation of carbon plus very high reproductive rates. It's basically a life history trait. And you find them just by going to the basic taxonomy books and looking, and it'll say rapid growing, multiple seeds, etc. And black willow, river birch, sweet gum are all the trees. The other thing, if you look at the, then in secondary of slow growing, think of oaks. Okay. But again, that's what they, 20 years ago, they were making them plant. I'll be back to you.
The site for this little idea stopped getting, what indicator were they meeting?
Lee, do you remember? Oh, it was chroma.
They were borderline meeting Sandy Redox the first few years, and then once the past 2 years out there, they've still got a lower chroma, but the redox concentrations have gone away, so it's not. So they're visually accumulating organic matter. You see that. You see the darkening. You see the lower chroma. But where the first few years we could see a real nice patchwork of depletions and associated redox concentrations, now it's more washed out and the redox concentrations are going away.
So iron could have been flushed on out of the system.
Iron could have leached out of the system.
So you're not meeting that spot.
Yeah, and understand it's a well-drained soil. This is a well-drained soil, and he's putting so much water on it, keeping a well-drained soil wet all the time. It's a very
if you remove iron from that system, then that's not going to be your indicator that's going to be expressed.
That's true.
Okay, so, and I've seen S5 come and go. I mean, I've been to the exact same sites, and I've redox everywhere, go back, not there. I don't put a whole lot of faith. I mean, yeah, it's great. It's easy to determine if you've got S5. It's very easy if it's there, but I think it's ephemeral in my experience. And same, it's obviously same stuff, but
the only point is it was there and now it's gone.
I believe that. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Is it still hydric? Probably, if you still have the hydrology, it still is. Well, if you don't have the hydrology, it's
project
still going to be there. I mean, it might not be the field indicator. Right. Yeah. Sounds to me like it would probably be the technical standard.
Yeah.
But
it's also important to know that's a good way to not just rely on one parameter.
What was the origin of these sites? Was this a creation, a restoration?
All of them were created.
So
they were upland that were graded down. Starting with the 10-year-old sites, they were actually deep raked, broken up. 20-year-old sites, it was a topsoil added, and they didn't make it about 6 inches, but they didn't mix it in. So there were some differences. We did control for that statistically.
Okay. I'm thinking nutrients, micronutrients.
We did the whole suite.
Oh, you did the whole suite.
Yeah. They well.
They're there. It's there.
Yeah. The growth on the trees is phenomenal. I mean, considering it was saturated, as well as the soil had quite a bit of organic to start with. We didn't add anything to it, but it had upwards of 3%. So.
So organic matter accumulation on the top. You're not getting close to dark surface, or there's no.
Yeah.
Not dark enough.
You can see if you looked at the horizon, the levels, you can actually pick out the horizon.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's just not.
Still not going to make your 70%.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
Another question
for Jim? All right. We'll have a break, too. We have to ask questions then. I will say that I work a lot on floodplains and also in the Delmarva Bays, if you're not familiar with them, they're closed depressions. And frequently, in the middle, it does not meet an indicator. We walk up slope, we'll find it.
Yeah.